Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 5th of August, 2025. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in with the news today, including news from the Indiana State Fair, where we spoke with the grand champions Sunday night, and whether or not you will need a second pass of fungicide this year. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the Indiana farm forecast has a mostly dry period the rest of the week. And yesterday, soybeans higher, corn not able to break above even, though. We'll have market analysis with John Zanker on the HAT Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance next year's seed order through SGD Financing or John Deere Finance and pay 0% interest through January 2027. Unbeatable seed quality for an unbeatable price, plus zero interest financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct, value, knowledge, performance. It's in our genetics.
Winners from the Grand Drive, and could a fungicide rate increase eliminate the need for a second pass? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the moment that many Indiana 4-H members dream about, finding their way to the dirt at the Grand Drive, presented by Farm Credit Mid-America. CJ Miller has more from the Indiana State Fair and the greatest show on dirt.
Such a magical moment to work all this time and to be able to spend time with my pig Skittles and be able to exhibit the Grand Champion Barrel.
And that's Hadley Hendrickson, a 9-year 4-H member from Randolph County. And she's like the Michael Jordan of the 4-H Grand Drive. Sunday night, she won Grand Champion Market Barrel. Last year, the same event, she won Supreme Champion Beef Heifer. In 2019 and 2021, she won Grand Champion Gilt. And back in 2018, she won Grand Champion Steer and Barrow. Hadley tells Hoosier Ag Today what it takes to have that level of success.
It takes passion and hard work and work ethic and family and just countless hours in the barn and all the passion and not only having the barrow to do it, but being able to feed it and walk it and just take those hours to do that extra mile and to get them here and to make them act right. And it just takes a lot of hard work and passion.
And that same level of hard work and passion is what led Gabby Rout of Clinton County to win Grand Champion for her market lamb.
What it takes to build a champion is hard work and an incredible support system. Without my team, I wouldn't be here.
The other grand champions from Sunday night were Caroline Sullivan from Hancock County for Meat Goat Weather, Spencer Gottemiller from Randolph County for Meat Goat Weather Dam, Kipton Felton from Huntington County for Beef Heifer, and Redmond Brumbaugh from DeKalb County for Beef Steer. You can watch all the grand champions from this year's 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America at HoosierAgToday.com. You can also watch the video on Hoosier Ag Today's Facebook page. I'm CJ Miller.
Growers are facing increasing pressure from diseases like gray leaf spot, tar spot, and even southern rust has made its way to northern Indiana. Some voices in the industry are recommending fungicide rate increases, claiming it will potentially eliminate the need for a second pass. Tyler Harp, technical product lead for Syngenta, says a higher rate of fungicide will not replace a second application.
You may get some extended residual activity with a little bit of a higher rate, but it's not going to be something that's going to give you as much of a return as a second application would under these scenarios of higher disease pressure. The data just doesn't support that.
Stress mitigation will be especially important for your crops if the weather turns dry in August.
The Bermuda High is positioned in a place where it's just allowing that moisture to come in through the Gulf, bringing that precipitation. You know, that's why we saw some flooding in Texas and so forth. And it's bringing that precipitation up through Iowa into the Corn Belt. Now, if the Bermuda High moves, it is expected to do so later this summer, moves further out to the Atlantic, it will kind of shut some of that off and it could cause some drier conditions. And one of the things that's nice about a really good plant health fungicide is that you're not only preserving yield in the presence of biotic stress, which is caused from diseases, but also abiotic stress, which is caused from things like drought or even heat.
And Hart provides his fungicide recommendations.
Merivis Neo for corn and soybeans is the fungicide that gives you these very important plant health benefits as well as potent long-lasting disease control. Merivis Neo contains a broad spectrum fungicide. It has diseases like Fusarium ear rot or Gibberella ear rot that are labeled. And so that's really important. So there's not a lot of fungicides that have that on the label. And so that can help reduce mycotoxin contamination.
Harp and Syngenta remind you to always read and follow label directions. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A mostly dry rest of the week this week. Now, I will tell you, same places that we saw a little pop-up scattered shower action yesterday. It's going to be a place that we have to watch for it later this afternoon into this evening. So we're talking mostly about southern and southwestern parts of Indiana. This is, and again, an offshoot of some moisture trapped between the Tennessee and Ohio River valleys. It's not dramatic. It's not huge. But I would be remiss if we took moisture out of the forecast today in those parts of the state. Northern Indiana stays partly to mostly sunny and dry. Tomorrow we see a dry region all the way through, and humidity values will start to climb just a little bit. The latter part of the week is going to be warm and humid with a good mix of a sunshine and, well, some breezes. I don't think it's going to be a big story here through the latter part of the week, but no major moisture coming. On Saturday, we're dry through a large chunk of the day. May have to deal with a few hit and misses, scattered showers popping up from the south and southeast over Indiana, southwest Ohio. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but a quarter of an inch with coverage at around 60%. Yeah, we can probably see it there. We're back to sunshine on Sunday, and we see a frontal boundary building to our west and northwest. That front tries to move through the Hoosier State overnight Sunday night through Monday. Can bring us anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation, and it may even linger into Tuesday. It's not a fast-moving front, but it also does not have a lot of moisture with it. Quarter to three quarters of an inch maximum. I think most of the state's going to be to the low end of that range, and I'm only putting coverage at about 75%. Behind it, we are drier for the rest of next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but we're also very humid, so it won't take much to trigger a pop-up scattered shower or thunderstorm. I think coverage on any given day is going to be 40% or less, so nothing you can count on, but there are chances the second half of next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold. Mixed markets, but a solid day in beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. It was another struggle for corn, but beans higher all session long. Settlements on the way. We begin with market analysis. I grab that at the end of the session from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. The bean market led the way higher, and it's probably, John, no surprise that the export inspections report was good, better than expected for beans. Also, soybean meal strong, and that provided a lift, so we had a stronger bean day all throughout the session.
Yeah, we went down and touched the existing low. and for that November contract and bounced, and that was good news. There was some Chinese infrastructure talk going on. Maybe there's something positive in that. But export shipments very strong for this week, and you know, kind of sets us up maybe, hopefully for USDA. I think the USDA is going to have to add some in on the 12th, and maybe it's going to be 30, 40 million. And if so, that's going to take that ending carryout down.
Export inspections right at the high end of expectations for wheat. So maybe no surprise that that was the only other market, corn, soybeans, and wheat, to touch positive territory.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to get supportive, you know, feel good about wheat for a while, like several months. But, you know, it's just been hard to really buy into that market and feel good about it. We've had some good export sales at times, some good shipments, and then we really failed to carry through on that for the next week or two. So, but nonetheless, we are competitive into a lot of markets with the Russians right now. And we should be, given that we're sitting here at, what, five-year lows? So we're near the five-year lows, so we should be competitive. But hopefully we can see some support there, but I don't see wheat going far unless corn is going along with it.
Well, let's talk more about your feelings as we turn to the corn market. How do you feel about that market, which on a Monday struggled to get anything going?
Well, strong export shipments, and but you know, we've been talking about that and trying to be confident in price movement from that for what, 4 months, 5 months, and you know, you and I have talked about it certainly on a lot of weeks since February, especially, and it just hasn't. It really hasn't had much positive impact. I guess maybe things would have been a lot worse if not for it, but you know, here we are, record. Corn exports, record demand, and we can't keep that nearby contract above $4. So we've got a big crop sitting out here, Andy. We did a year ago. We failed to finish it off to its best potential, and we'll see how the weather develops. But if we can get one more general rain across the belt mid-month, you know, we're heading for a big number. I think the USDA is going to go pretty big on the 12th. So we'll see how it goes, but it's pretty hard to get friendly corn futures at this point unless we see a turn to the hot and dry here in the next 4 weeks, next 2 to 3 weeks, actually.
And a pretty good Brazilian corn harvest. Is that just making matters worse?
Much worse, unfortunately, yes. Record second crop. Total crop for them, coming on the heels of a record soybean crop. So, you know, we're just back on our heels. And I probably should put this in here, too. We're kind of excited about the old crop exports on beans today. But Arlen Suderman put out some good numbers here in his midday. Only 111 million sales new crop on the books right now for soybeans. A year ago, we were at 130 million. 297 million 2 years ago, and 546 million in 2022. So this is an awful number so far. And zero of those 111 are to China. So we need to get things going. And, you know, it's going to be tough with an extra 660 million bushels of soybeans coming out of South America.
Market commentary from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. Get John at that office number, 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday market review, down 2.5 cents on September corn, 387. December contract dips to 407, 3.75 lower. March down 3.5, 424.75. Beans, September, 975.25, a gain of 5.75. And November and January up a nickel and a quarter, 994.5 on the Nov, and January 10.13. Unchanged September and December wheat, 516.75 on the SEP contract, Dece at 537. Meats also higher. August live cattle, 230.90, up 77. And August lean hogs, 108.17, up 82. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.